So God walks to the garden, and Adam would always come out to meet him and greet him. Then suddenly God walks to the garden. There is no Adam. There is no Eve. Why? Shame now. I'm hiding because I have shame in my life.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, this is Mark Jobe. Welcome to Straight Talk. I want to tell you that it's such an incredible privilege to be able to come to you via the airwaves practically every day of the week. And I don't take that responsibility lightly. I believe that some of you have entrusted me with time every week to hear the instruction from the Word. And I pray for our radio listeners, and I pray for those of you that are out there slugging it out in the trenches. I realize that there's some of you listening to me right now who the big burden on your soul is your marriage. I know that some of you are listening right now and you have a wayward son or daughter that's become a prodigal, and you've prayed and tried to reach out to them, but you've reached the end of your rope in knowing what to do humanly, but you believe that there's still hope in God. Some of you are at a place of financial crisis where you don't know where the next mortgage payment is going to come from. There are some of you right now listening to this program that you're in cancer treatment and your life is hanging on the edge, and one chemotherapy session to the another, you just don't know if you can make it. There's someone here that has broken up with a longtime boyfriend or girlfriend, and you thought it was leading to marriage, and your dreams and expectations have been shattered. I know that there are people listening to this program right now that desperately need to hear from God. You need to know that God is not distant and far. You need to know that the heavens are not brass. You need to know that God still hears. Well, I hope that my voice today would be able to encourage you, remind you, be a sense of hope and inspiration that God has not abandoned you, that your prayers are not in vain, that God still keeps his promises, that God is aware of your situation, that there is a God that is sovereign above the universe, and nothing is too hard for God. I want to remind you, I want to build your faith. I don't want you to lose hope. I want you to hang on, persevere, because God is not finished with you yet.
Indeed, Pastor Mark, thank you. Today, Pastor Mark is concluding his message called Unmasking Shame, which is the final message in our series called Emotional Intelligence. Our text will be found in Genesis chapter 3. Here's Pastor Mark.
Something dramatically changed. Remember, up until this time, there was no shame. There was not the existence of shame in the world. Look what it says in I'll begin reading in verse 6. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and the woman heard the sound of the Lord God, as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So I want you to realize this. Write this down if you're taking notes. The second point is our failures and other people's flaws give shame leverage in our life. There is no shame until there's failure. There is no shame until there's brokenness. There's no shame until there's something that we consider ugly inside of us that needs to be hidden. And as soon as sin came into the world and perfection was broken, shame ushered in. As soon as that happened, because now suddenly, think about it. Adam and Eve had been in the garden, I don't know, maybe for years and years. And suddenly the very first thing that they do when they fall and sin comes into their life, they violate the command of God. So now there's something, their eyes are open and they realize there's something about me that's broken, that's flawed, that I need to hide. And it says suddenly they ate it and the eyes of both of them were open and they realized that they were naked, and immediately they wanted to cover themselves. And every generation down from Adam and Eve, all of us are broken to one degree or another and flawed inside, every single one of us. There's not a person here that is completely whole, without issues, without problems, without sin, without brokenness. All of us are. All of us are. Every single one of us has issues inside. Problems. Things that overcome us. Attitudes that are wrong. We're all flawed to one extent or another. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And really, sin brings with shame. It's a realization that something is wrong, that we're not measuring up to the standard of God, because God created us to live a certain way. And inside, we realize we're not living up to that standard. And all of us realize there's something inside of us that needs to be fixed. That's why, because we know that, it affects a lot about us. For example, don't you get uncomfortable when someone stares at you? Why are they staring? What are they looking at? Honey, they're staring. Well, why? Well, what is it about us that makes us feel uncomfortable when someone stares? I think there's something about us, all of us, that has a sense that there's something inside of us that if they see it, if they examine it enough, they're not going to like. I think all of us feel in one way or another that if some of us fear that if you really got to know me, if you really knew deep inside of my heart, if you really saw some of the issues that I struggle with, maybe then you would not like or accept or really value me because I have issues. It's shame issues inside of us. And so we begin to cover up, and some of us cover up like nothing bothers me. So we put up a strong bravado front and ask like, nothing ever bothers me, nothing ever. But inside, it's that hard, tough crust that's covering up really inside the stuff that hurts. Some people keep people at a distance. So what happened as soon as shame entered the world because of sin, two things happened, which leads me to my next point. Write this down. Number three, shame fuels fear that drives us to hide from God and others as we protect our vulnerabilities. Notice what happened in verse 7. Immediately when their eyes were opened, it says, they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So suddenly, Adam and Eve, who had been together for a long time, now they're covering themselves up from each other. And it says, and then the man and his wife heard the sound of God. Up until that point, they walked with God. When God came out, it was, hey, Abba, God, how you doing? Hey, come, here we are. Imagine that, walking in the cool of the day. You don't have to pray. God is not appearing in the spirit. There's no mediator. God is just there, hanging out, chatting, talking. And God is walking, and they say they hear the sound of God. Now, what does God sound like when he walks? I doubt it's... I think it's better than that. I don't know. Maybe it's a flow. Maybe it's like a wind. But they said they heard the sound of God in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Because what happens when shame is entered into our life, two things happen. Number one, you start hiding, you start covering yourselves from people around you. And number two, you start running from God, hiding from God. Two things happen. We start concealing ourselves from others. And secondly, we start hiding from God, running from God. You see, the gospel does the very opposite. The gospel draws us to God and draws us to other people in communion. That's what the gospel does. Shame drives us to hide, to isolate, to conceal. And it makes us feel like God is not going to accept us, that God is going to reject us, so that we better hide from God. And I want you to notice the conversation that happens here. And I want you to understand what's happening. Suddenly, Adam doesn't see Eve the same. And Eve doesn't see Adam the same. They're concealing, they're hiding, they're trying to cover up their flaws. And they get into this game of blaming, and it's your fault. No, you did it, and I did. They have their first marital controversy and fighting over it. And suddenly, their walk with God is gone, and they're running from God and hiding from God. Why? Because of fear. Fear of what? Fear that I'm rejected. Fear that I will not be accepted. Fear that I have little value of my own. That's the fear that's there. Number four. You need to understand this about shame. Avoiding responsibility prolongs our prison sentence in the cell of unresolved shame. Listen what happens in verse 11. So God walks to the garden, and Adam, who'd always come out to meet him and greet him, say hi. Then suddenly God walks to the garden, and there is no Adam, there is no Eve. Why? Shame now. I'm hiding because I have shame in my life. So God starts calling now, Adam, Adam, where are you? Now, every time God asks a question, we always know what? He already knows the answer. It's like, you ever played hide and go seek with your, 4-year-old? And they hide behind the lamp that's really thin like this, thinking you're not going to see him. And of course, you play along, you say, where are you? Where is this kid? And they smile like, hey, they can't see me, but you see him all the time, right? That's a little bit like God with Adam. Adam, Adam, where are you? I see you, where are you, Adam? And then suddenly behind the tree, like this, Adam, who's always run out to greet him and meet him, suddenly Adam says, he says, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid. That's the emotion. I was afraid. When there's shame in our life, then fear fuels it. I was afraid. What? I was afraid you would see who I am, what I've done. I was afraid you would see how ugly my heart is. I was afraid you would see that and reject me. I was afraid. Listen. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Unmasking Shame, which is from our series called Emotional Intelligence. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, with his message called Unmasking Shame.
And God says, well, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now, how long had Adam been in the garden? Maybe years. But suddenly, now, he's aware for the first time of his vulnerability before God. Why? Because he has something to hide. Then, of course, Adam says, God says, well, did you eat of the tree? And Adam says, and this is where it all started, guys. We've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years now. And Adam says, the woman. Is that woman you gave me? I mean, you and I, hey, we were doing good before the woman was here. We understood each other, got along, and that woman, God, I didn't want to, God, she, the woman. I looked at the tree and said, no. She said, here it is, eat it, it's so good. And, though it's the woman's fault. Some of you ladies are saying, yeah, my husband learned a lot from Adam. Mm-hmm. So God looks at the woman, and he says, God says to the woman, verse 13, what is it that you have done? And the woman says, the serpent. The devil made me do it. You have for the very first time an unwillingness. Listen, an unwillingness. We know there's something inside of us that's wrong, but we don't want to take responsibility for it. So we blame others around us. It's their fault. It's his fault. It's because if I can blame it on someone else, then I don't have to take responsibility myself. Shame says, there's something wrong inside of me. And if I can say it's someone else's fault that I'm this way, then maybe I don't have to face it. But the longer we don't take responsibility for it, the longer we avoid saying, yes, it is my fault. Yes, I do have an issue. Help me, God. The longer we postpone it, then the longer we stay in the prison of shame. Now, I want you to hear me well. I want you to hear me well, because if you're here today and maybe you were sexually molested when you were 6 years old, that was not your fault at all. That's not your fault. And maybe you have shame over that, and maybe you've carried it all your life, and that was not your fault. But I want you to hear me well. Listen, you are not responsible for what was done to you, but you are responsible with what you do with what was done to you. You understand the difference? You're not responsible for what was done to you, but you are responsible for what you do with what you was done to you. And if you allow it to turn into anger, bitterness, pride, resentment, self-loathing, you are responsible for allowing it to turn that way instead of turning it over to God and allowing the healing of God to come into your life. I'm going to close with this. I want you to hear me. This is the most important part of the message, so stay with me. So, there is no emotion there's no sinful emotion. All emotions are neutral. I've said that. So, shame is not a bad emotion necessarily, because God can use shame. But I want you to hear what it says in Psalms chapter 34, verses 4 through 5. Listen, it says, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to God are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. Those who look to God and are in the presence of God, their faces are never covered with shame. Their faces are radiant in God. Now, this is how it works. There is a place in where God can use the pain of shame to drive us to him, if we allow it to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, the Apostle Paul says, wake from your drunken fit, live righteous lives, cease to sin. For some have no knowledge of God. I speak this in order to move you to shame. 1 Corinthians 6, 5, Paul says, I say this to put you to shame. Ezekiel 16:63 says, that you may remember and be ashamed. How can God use shame? Well, you were never created to live with ongoing shame. But sometimes when you experience shame in your life, God can use it to drive you to him and to bring about healing in your life. This is how it works, turning your shame into something good. Listen, shame can lead us to sorrow or sadness or pain. When I'm in pain, I want to change. Sorrow can lead us to conviction. Conviction is, this is wrong. Something is not right here. Conviction is, I know this is not right. I know this is wrong. I know there's something here that needs to be fixed and changed. Conviction, if we follow the right road, can lead us to repentance. Repentance means, I know it's not right. Conviction is, I know it's not right. Repentance means, I know it's not right, so I choose to change and go God's way, because this way is wrong, and so I turn around and I choose God's way. Repentance leads to forgiveness, Because when we chose to go God's way and leave our old way behind, forgiveness flows into our life. God says, I release you from the debt of your past. Whatever was in your past, whatever you have shame issues over, I'm willing to wash it away completely. Your past does not define you in the present. Forgiveness, if you've experienced it, means God says, whatever you were in the past, whatever you have done, whatever your shame issues have been, I wash and cleanse and wipe it away. That does not define you. So forgiveness leads to freedom. Freedom to what? Freedom to live for God. Freedom to be all that God has called you to be. Freedom to be transparent. Freedom to say, yeah, I have issues, but I'm willing to deal with my issues. But I've been forgiven, and I've been washed, and I've been cleansed. Freedom leads you to worship. Oh, it makes you want to say, I've been forgiven so much, freed from so much. I want to love God back. I'm not running away from God. I am running to God and worshiping Him and elevating Him. And I'm not hiding from people. I'm opening my heart to people to see the work that God can do in my life and what He can do in their life. I'm not concealing my issues. I'm opening up my heart and say, look what God has done with my issues. It drives me to be transparent and open with people. Now I have a testimony. Before I had shame. Now I have a testimony of how good God is and how He works in my life. Before, my past was an embarrassment. Now my past is part of my story to glorify God. Now my past is, hey, that was a lot in me, but look how good God has been. Look what God has done in my life. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. I'm not bound by shame. My past does not define me, but my past does describe how good God has been to me. And so I glory not in the wickedness of my past, but in the goodness and power and forgiveness of God to deal with my past. I glory in God. The Bible says in John chapter 8, listen, so if the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. So listen, what happens with this bucket of shame is that if we follow down that road, now you can go down a whole nother road of depression, of guilt, of hiding, of running from God and hiding from other. And some of you have been down that road a long time. And God says, listen, all that's in that bucket of shame, you know, I'm emptying all that. It's gone. There's nothing. It's there. Not that it wasn't part of your life, but there is no sealed envelopes now. There's only dealt with envelopes. It's all been exposed to the light. Now, there's nothing. There's no power that shame. Oh, there is something. All right. Some of these go hard. You know, some of them are dealt with easy. Some of them want to stick in there. Get out of here, shame. Come on now. Nothing there now. So here's how I want to close this. Listen. Some of you have stuff in your bucket of shame. It's made you hide from God, resist God. It's made you put walls up to other people. And I'm saying to you today that God wants to deal with your shame down the road of repentance, healing, forgiveness, and freedom if you let Him.
This has been our message entitled Unmasking Shame. It's from Pastor Mark Jobe of New Life Community Church in Chicago. We hope that this message has been a blessing to you. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.